Levels of activity in the construction industry is on a recovery path. This is according to AfriMat's latest construction index, which registered a 4% increase in activity for the third quarter, following a 7% gain between April and June, with the index now over 9% higher than in the first quarter. Independent economist Roelof Botha, who compiled the index, joins us in studio now to discuss the outlook for the sector moving forward. Thanks so much, Roelof, for your time this evening. So sector activity up 4% on the second quarter figure. Are we talking broad strokes improvement in the sector here, or do we have to be very specific about where exactly activity is happening?
It's fairly broad-based, but the strongest indicators, especially over the last 7 to 8 years, have been employment in construction, the salaries and wages in construction, and of late, your value of building plans passed, and also the value of buildings completed. Mm-hmm. That has picked up quite nicely. Building material sales, in real terms, is also up. It's not a huge improvement. It sounds good in percentage points, but unfortunately, there's some maths coming into the equation, because the first quarter was disastrous. Mm-hmm. We're very encouraged by the fact that we've had two successive quarters of improvement, and hopefully this can actually accelerate shortly after the elections next year. The first quarter is usually not a good quarter for construction.
Yeah. As you highlight, it's this activity that's actually driving employment in construction. I mean, that's up 5%. We've had salaries and wages in construction up 4.5%. Are you surprised? Because it speaks to commitments being made in a still very uncertain socioeconomic and political environment, and where, more broadly speaking, unemployment levels are on the rise. I mean, we saw PMI figures just this week improve, but manufacturers themselves still not willing to take, that leap of faith just yet.
Yes, for construction to really get going, you need less fiscal restraint, to put it that way. Right now, we've got this potential junk status hanging above our heads. So we have to be very careful about how much money we spend. And it's a huge pity, because the RDP housing program has more or less ground to a halt. Mm-hmm. And of course, you need functional municipalities. Now, if every single municipality in the Northwest province is dysfunctional, then you are going to battle to get this sector really growing. And there are a lot of obstacles. But I think a lot of people equate construction with what has happened to some of the major construction firms on the JSE. And one should not confuse that with the general level of activity. What has happened is that in the last 5 to 10 years, there's been a host of medium and smaller companies that have filled that space. Private companies, not listed on the stock exchange. I think I counted 21 tower cranes in Mshlanga a couple of weeks ago. So and Gauteng and Joburg, greater Joburg areas, is probably no exception, and the Western Cape. Mm-hmm. Now that it's rained, what they call semigration is continuing again. And you can see that in the building plans passed, the value for the Western Cape. It's narrowing the gap with Gauteng.
Yeah. Okay, so that explaining then the disconnect between what you're presenting for the third quarter and, of course, some of the headlines that these major construction players have been making. Let's put the microscope on government versus private sector spend. I mean, we saw Q3 GDP numbers show that government expenditure was up 2.2%, gross fixed capital formation contracting over 5%. So do we extrapolate on that and say that where development or activity is happening, it's being driven by government in particular?
Well, government is certainly playing a role, but the private sector has, in terms of value added, the private sector is still the one that where the gross operating surplus is the highest and where the employment is the highest, and that's where the taxes are generated. Mm-hmm. The land reform issue has been a huge impediment to capital formation, and I've been warning about that for quite a while. I mean, the idea of land expropriation without comprehension, as I call it, it's just very silly. Yes, we need land reform, but we can surely find a way to do it in a pragmatic way with a business plan. You don't necessarily have to buy the property. You can make a deal with whoever, whatever you want to do on the property, like give the owner, let's say, 2,000 Rand for every RDP house or whatever the case may be. But don't send out the message that we are going to follow the Venezuela/Zimbabwe route. Then you scare off investors, not only foreign investors, but domestic investors.
What that does, Roelof, is put the spotlight on President Cyril Ramaphosa's investment plan. I mean, how soon before you see the capital commitments that he's already managed to rake in actually translating into accelerated growth?
Well, he's a smart man. And I think he realized from the outset that a lot of damage had been done to the economy. during the Zuma administration, especially in the last two or three years, when you had a sort of a snowball effect. We can see that now with the load shedding, we can see it with the water problems in the country, etc., with SAA. And he realized that he just has to go on a tour. He just has to appoint some people, which he did, this investment team, and get them to speak to potential investors and tell them that change is coming. It won't be rapid, but change is coming, and we are seeing the fruits of that in very strong direct investment in the first half of this year.
Okay. Let's take a look then at the recovery that's coming through in the construction space specifically, because having said all of that, we've got real risks to consider: Eskom land policy formulation, as you've highlighted, the upcoming elections next year, all of that throwing somewhat of a spanner in the works. So do you see the recovery we've seen thus far being sustained moving into 2019?
Between now and the elections, we will be treading water. I've got no doubt about that. One shouldn't expect anything spectacular from any industry in this country, except the security industry, I suppose. But following on from the elections, I believe that Mr. Ramaphosa will start with some haste to appoint more competent people at all the levels of the public sector, including the state-owned enterprises, and to start fixing them and improve productivity. The secret going forward, I believe, for companies is to consider diversification. That was Afrimat's huge success. If they only had to rely on building materials, I wouldn't say they would have been in trouble. They wouldn't have had the stellar results that they've had. They've moved into mining, metallurgical, dolomite, for instance, etc., iron ore, which has been a boon. And we have to think out of the box, in the sense that currently government cannot, for instance, develop land and get RDP housing cracking, because they would need to borrow money, and then Moody's will be watching over their shoulder. But what's wrong with public-private partnerships? If they can shift the burden of the debt onto the partnership, you've got this situation where there are literally hundreds of billions of rand of corporate deposits just lying there in wait, waiting for more policy certainty, etc. So there are ways and means to actually get construction and development going again if government and the private sector talk to each other, and that will happen next year.
Well, let's leave it there. Roelof, thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening. Of course, that independent economist, Roelof Botha.